Hello and welcome to Is This Anime? I am your quote-unquote anime expert, Jack Metcalf. And before we start this episode off, I want to interject. When we record this episode, it was before the tragic news of Akira Toriyama's passing, so I did just want to say some words. Toriyama was an incredibly important creator to me. I think I would argue he's as important as Tolkien to the culture, and similarly to Tolkien, he didn't necessarily invent a lot of the manga archetypes, but like Tolkien, he codified them. Tolkien didn't invent orcs, he didn't invent elves, but what we know as elves and orcs stem from the bones of what Tolkien made, and other writers have done their own takes or subverted it, and similarly with Dragon Ball, I mean, the concept of, you know, heroic transformations, the hero always has to go Super Saiyan or something like that, or the villain turned hero, you know, every manga or anime needs a Vegeta, even American cartoons like Avatar The Last Airbender, for instance, you know, Prince Zuko very much falls into that Vegeta archetype. And yeah, I just wanted to say some words about how important Toriyama was to me in particular. Not just because Dragon Ball, of course, is one of the great works of manga and anime, but also video games. I mean, my first non-Pokemon RPG was the Final Fantasy Chronicles Double Pack, and it had two games with it, Final Fantasy IV and Chrono Trigger. And when I saw that Toriyama art that he did for Chrono Trigger, it was on the cover, I was like, oh my god, that's pretty much Goku. It's Goku with a sword. I gotta have this game. And that was the first non-Pokemon role-playing game I ever played. And Chrono Trigger, I still maintain, is one of the greatest RPGs ever made. It's one of my, you know, top three video games of all time. And his work in video games can't be understated. He basically co-created the JRPG genre with his character designs for Dragon Quest, where he made so many iconic monsters. And without his work, I mean, who knows if Dragon Quest would have taken off and has sold as well. And that led to, you know, games like Final Fantasy being created. You know, when I heard the news, I was playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I just couldn't stop getting emotional playing it. It was, you know, obviously distracting me, because I'm still very much distraught by this news. Gone far too long, and the fact that it's coming during a year where he has so many works coming out. I mean, we've got the Sandland anime coming out, a video game of Sandland as well. We've got Dragon Ball Daima coming out, which apparently he had far more involvement than he had in with Super. I know some people don't like the return to kids format, but hey, Toriyama always preferred when Dragon Ball was humorous, and I know some people prefer the more dramatic Dragon Ball Z stuff. But I mean, you know, Dragon Ball started off as more comedy than action, and of course his work on Dr. Slump, which he was already an iconic manga artist even before Dragon Ball. People forget that. So, and anyways, I'm just rambling. This is still very hard news to hear. I think I'll end this on what Ichiro Oda said about his passing. He said, "I hope that heaven is just as pleasant as you envisioned it in your manga, sensei." Anyways, enjoy the rest of this episode. We're talking about Solo Leveling, which obviously was a manhwa very much inspired by the tropes codified by Dragon Ball. And, you know, every subsequent manga and anime in the battle genre owes itself to Dragon Ball and will continue to. Hello and welcome to Is This Anime? I am your quote-unquote anime expert, Jack Metcalf. And joining us once again is Mark Blankefleur. Mark, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks for having me back, dude.
You and I, we were just talking about video games. I was ranting to you about how Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is awesome, but now we're going to talk about an anime that is about video games, Solo Leveling. Mark, you were the one who pushed this on to me. I had just watched the show. Why Solo Leveling? Let's hear it out from you.
So why Solo Leveling? Solo Leveling was and still is a very popular manhwa, Korean manga, that I got hooked onto about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. And when I found out that they were making an anime adaptation, I was like, this is one that I've got to present to you and push for a future episode of Is This Anime?
Yeah, and you would even ask to delay it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, we'll do 5 episodes. But then you kind of pushed. And I was like, oh, shit. Oh, God, how much am I going to have to watch? but I agree with what you pushed. We're covering episodes 1 to 7. 8 is going to be airing the day after this is recorded. But you, dear listener, will obviously be able to watch it, which is fantastic. But yeah, we're talking the first 7 episodes of Solo Leveling. So this series, it started off as a light novel by the author Chu Gong. I was hoping I could find an interview with Chu Gong. I found some interviews with the voice actors of the American dub, but nothing from Chu Gong. So this is not a very long history section. I'm sorry, dear listener. This is a light novel that originated in 2016. It ran until 2021, December 29th. So... And then there's also the manga, and the manga also ended on December 29th, but it ran from March 4th, 2018 to December 29th, 2021. And also, tragically, the artist of that passed away, I think like a year or two ago, didn't he?
Yeah, it was fairly, I wouldn't say fairly recent, but yes, it was a recent passing, and it was, I believe, unexpected as well.
Yeah, it was. It was just some, I think, random heart disease or something like that. But yeah, Solo Leveling, nevertheless, hugely popular series. Have you read the entire thing?
I have read not the light novel, but the manga as well as the little side, I guess the epilogue, I guess you could say. It's really just a side story that they did. But yeah, I'm fully caught up and everything.
Fantastic. And what about it appeals to you?
Well, first of all, the art style of the manhwa is very amazing and very, I want to say unique, but it appeals to my senses. So characters are beautiful, color and everything is just top notch. And when they announced that, you know, an anime was coming, I was like, would they be able to do it justice? And in one particular episode, I would say they have. And for the most part, though, I would still say the visuals in the manhwa are much better, but to be expected as opposed to animation style. So,
I mean, yes and no. We've definitely seen some anime, specifically Jujutsu Kaisen, that I think elevates their original material for sure. I gotta be careful about how I say this because I enjoyed the later episodes of this. However, I can't deny the first 3 at least. I was kind of nodding off.
Yeah, it's the first 3 episodes kind of do drag on. Like the first 2 episodes very easily could have been a single episode. And in the manhwa, it builds the framework to what we see for like the rest of the series. And for so, sure. First 3 episodes, definitely kind of a snooze fest, but like after getting like tail end of the 3rd is when it starts to like slowly ramp.
Let's get into the recap. Cause I don't want to reveal the best stuff and just skip over how this begins. Mm-hmm. So we open on a battleship. They say it's up to the hunters. Despite having a battleship, the fighters are in a fantasy world fighting ants. That's the other thing. I knew nothing about the series going in. I was like Malcolm back in the OG days. I knew the title Solo Leveling. I thought this was going to be about a badass. And the first 3 episodes were not that. It eventually became about a badass, but there was more of a ramp up than I expected. And I didn't even know what this world was. I wasn't sure if this was just like a traditional isekai where it's like a guy, he falls into a video game world and does this, but nope, this is some version of our reality that also is fantasy, perhaps a Final Fantasy. Anyways, there's some fighters, they get wrecked, but then a trio of badasses saves them. And we learn that more than a decade ago, a series of pathways opened up, which unleashed magic beasts. And to combat this, some humans awakened abilities, and this led to the creation of the Hunters Guild. And we learned the rankings go from E to S. And our hero is Sung Jun-woo. He's not super strong, and he gets stabbed during a dungeon raid. So I was like, oh, I thought this was going to be about a badass. And one of the first things we see is him getting stabbed.
I don't know how early you want to get into it or what you want to say, but like there is, yeah, I guess there's a reason why he gets stabbed, right? Because he's considered to be the world's, not the world's strongest hunter, but quite the opposite, the world's weakest hunter.
He's an E rank. I guess there's no F. They were nice enough not to make F rank.
But if there was, he would definitely be an F rank.
So yeah, there's these like magic minerals, or I think they're called mana crystals or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they come from dungeon crawls and they pretty much power the world. And Jinwoo, he's joined this raid team and going further into a dungeon. And they find a huge stone statue. And it's a creepy looking one. And guess what? Maybe when you're in a dungeon raid, you don't want to piss off the creepy stone statue, because all of a sudden the team gets locked in and the statues awaken and kill people. And as the massacre goes on, I expected Jinwoo to become a badass. And instead he declares they're all going to fucking die.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. This is going to be a slower ramp up than I expected.
For sure. When you were watching this, did you expect to see the level of violence that you saw?
It's definitely more violent than I expected. I was not expecting this much gore and grossness. Some of the deaths are pretty fucking gnarly.
For sure. And I think that's kind of interesting. It's definitely not something that you see a lot in modern anime. Well, I guess modern anime has actually changed because it has varying levels of rated R-ness, I guess you could say, from, you know, like, what is it, like, Redo of Healing and, like, Berserk and everything like that. Like,
the streaming era has definitely led to less limits, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So I was definitely surprised to see that level of, I want to say, it's not like a high level of goriness, but, like, there is dismemberment, and which I didn't think I would ever see in anime, in especially in modern anime, especially for something like this, which feels a little bit more, it's not quite shonen, but what's the next level above shonen, where it's not just like young boy, it's like young man.
It would be like seinen.
Yeah So it'd be more like that
for sure. And I guess, I mean, there are violent isekai shows, but I kind of expected this to be more the PG-13 realm and not where it gets to like close to R.
Yeah, me anyway. As well. So that throughout the first three episodes kind of threw me off. And I could see how that's off-putting for some people. But I think it's worth it to push through.
Yeah, I guess for me, when you watch a shonen, and I know we're saying shonen seinen, I guess my expectation was it would happen sooner. So I was like, okay, he'll become a badass by the end of the first episode. But yeah, it does take about three episodes, and even as we go down our notes, it takes even a bit longer. Really not until the fourth where we actually see him start to do shit.
It definitely, so comparatively with the anime, the anime and the manhwa, it is definitely a slow burn for sure. And it could use a little bit more pacing.
Yeah. Anyways, back to this. In spite of all this, Jinwoo does show some courage and he bows to the statue. And it turns out the statues only attack if you're at a certain height. And the statue then gets up and it seems like things might be positive, but nope. More people get fucked up in nasty ways. And Jinwoo says, first we had to worship. Second, we had to praise. Maybe we can prove our faith by resisting the temptation to run. So he's drawn up this like magic circle and he tells everyone there, please just stay in the fucking circle. And that doesn't happen. A lot of people run away and they die.
This has like MMO vibes to it. I can just think of like WoW raids where it's like you have to be in a certain area first before you know we pass this phase of the boss. And then no one, like the DPS is running off doing something, tank's not paying attention, all the healers are like, get in the freaking circle. And no one's paying attention, and then everyone wipes.
I'm not gonna lie, I've definitely been one of those people, especially when I was younger, where it's just like, okay, Jack can't dance. It's like, yo, you've got to follow the pattern. I'm like, oh no, I'm 13. I don't know what to do here.
What do you mean pattern?
Pattern? What is this? What do you mean? I don't have deadly boss mods or any of that stuff. I'm just gonna you know, hit things. I mean, God, I remember back in like, I mean, yeah, I was like 13 when the original WoW came out, and it wasn't even until Burning Legion that I bought skills for my warrior. I'm like, yeah, warriors don't need to upgrade their skills. You just need one of them.
That's, to be fair, that sounds like a plot that would happen in an anime. It's just someone who just knows one skill.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the one skilled warrior, or I refuse to upgrade or something like that. I know like someone's pretty much made an anime about, or maybe it was a manga or manga that turned into anime, whatever. Someone like made one about like, let me solo her from Elden Ring. Someone
okay.
Basically did that. Do you know who Let Me Solo Her is?
Yeah. It's that character, right? It's that guy. It's a summon or something like that. It's someone's play character, is it not?
It's an actual player character. Like, there is a person who is called Let Me Solo Her, and they just go into people's games wearing barely anything, but they still kick ass and save people from dying.
So are you talking about an anime that's actually like that?
Yeah, there's an anime that's like loosely based off that Elden Ring person.
Is it Sunraku?
I don't know. I'd have to double check, and I've got my notes opened up. But anyways, your listener, if you type in "Let Me Solo Her" anime, you'd probably find it. Anyways, yeah. So these other raid party members, they fuck up and they chicken out, and it's just Jinwoo left to fight the statues, and his broken body ends up on an altar. And as he's about to die, and also let it be known, he's like lost limbs too.
Yeah, he's bleeding profusely, losing an arm, losing a leg.
As he's about to die, he wishes for another chance. And then we see a notification popping up asking if he wants to be a player.
Ooh. Episode.
I know. So how does that work? Like this series takes place in the real world, but yet there are still video game concepts. How does that
work? Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like, it's basically if you or I suddenly woke up and said, and there's like a pop-up notification, not from our phone, but literally right in front of our face. Like augmented reality, but without the goggles.
Is there an explanation ever for it? Like, do we like meet the gods or something like that?
There is later on, eventually.
Okay,
that's cool. a loose explanation, but
yeah, you don't have to give it away. But there is one. Okay, so it's not just
in the manhwa. Like, but don't think it'll ever be approached for a long time in the anime.
Yeah, because this anime is 13 episodes, so I guess 13 isn't enough to cover the entire thing.
Yeah, from what I heard, it's supposed to be like they're doing this in what they call is the term cours,
yeah,
C-O-U-R, where it's just it's like blocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be considered like, I guess you could call them like story arcs that they're doing them. So I think this one. I don't even know where it would do, but yeah, we're not going to get very much into it.
Okay.
Into like the real crux of it.
Gotcha. So yeah, he's awoken in a hospital. His body is restored. Two men from the Hunter Association, they meet with him, and they say when the White Tiger Guild found Jinwoo, there was no remnant of the temple he was in. And it's theorized that Jinwoo may have had a second awakening, which has given him far greater strength. However, the Hunter Association people, they test his power with this device, and it says he's still the same. So he's still a useless E-ranker, at least what we think so far. So Jinwoo, he ends up taking on a quest that transports him into another realm, where he faces off against some massive centipede monsters. He manages to survive for hours, and these quests that he's doing boost his strength further, and he even gets a loot box that rewards him with a key. And these key, it leads him into an instance dungeon. And Jinwoo, he goes into the dungeon. Only he can enter the dungeon, I guess. To regular people, he just kind of has disappeared. I don't know.
Yeah, again, just think of it as like an alternate dimension that he has access to.
Yeah. And he manages to fuck up some goblins, but he gets into a more difficult fight with a wolf, which leads to episode 4, where Jinwoo, he ends up summoning a sword, but then more wolves appear, and then he starts to go to town on them, and he keeps leveling up, eventually earning the title of Wolf Assassin. You could say maybe he is solo leveling, if you will. Solo leveling. So yeah, this is basically what I expected. I kind of expected this to be about, like, yeah, the guy who grinds and becomes the best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll wait and I'll wait till we get to episode 7, and then I can give you a bit more.
Okay, we'll get to there. So yeah, we're still on 4. Mm-hmm. But again, this was my impression. When I heard the title Solo Leveling, I just assumed he would be at 99 within like 3 episodes.
And then right.
And then it would be a power fantasy.
Yeah, and I think it's good, like great the way that they're doing it. Even though it is slow, I do like to see the journey, right? Because it's like this is what everyone goes through when we go leveling. Like, we're not always going to be OP right off the bat, right? We have to find things. We have to struggle before, you know, you have to crawl before you walk, right? You have to get, you know, no, quote unquote, in like real terms, you know, you got to know your loadouts, your, you know, your API, and everything like that, and your skill cooldowns. You got to know how to time that and everything, like, depending on the game that you're playing, you know, you want frame cancels and things like that. Yeah, and so he, in his own sort of way, is like going through the motions. And you have to think of it, he has historically been known and is still known as the weakest hunter alive. So he's not going to have great skills. He's not going to like suddenly know how to like wield a sword or anything. He has zero experience wielding a sword, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it does make a little bit of sense for him. And then I empathize a little bit more, because it's like, I like this journey more, even though, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I do love me a good like overpowered protagonist, but like, it's nice to see the guy, the OP, kind of like the protag kind of like struggle a bit, you know, and then, you know, kind of like go through a learning curve.
Sure, and we're going to start to get to the positives of this series. I know I've been negative on it, and it's mostly just because, again, I didn't expect it to take as long to get to the good stuff, but there is good stuff. In my notes, we're going to start to talk about positive stuff on the show. It's not just me being a negative Nancy. And, you know, to your credit, you were the one who was like, hey, Jack, maybe we should wait a couple weeks before covering this. And you were correct, straight up. he's starting to solo level, and he gets stronger and stronger. And he gets so strong, the wolves are no longer considered a threat to him. And he ends up fighting a giant serpent, but he's struggling. Nevertheless, he persists. And in the best bit of animation yet, he finally kills the serpent. That's the other thing, too. I kind of expected the animation in the earlier episodes to be better. Mm-hmm. I can see that they've been saving it for the good stuff. But again, just because of the hype of this series and what I was told and my impression, I feel the slowness again. I know they're telling the story accurate to the manhwa, but this is where, like, when someone's like, oh shit, solo leveling, this is the big one. And then you're watching like 3 or 4 episodes where it takes a while to get to the good stuff. It's like, I could see it. It's hard to.
I get what you're saying. It's like, it's definitely being over to a degree. It's being hyped up, even overhyped. And then when your average Joe like yourself will come and watch it and be like, what the hell is everyone talking about? Like, this is just a regular bland anime. And to be fair, you are not the only other person who sees this. Even like people like me and other like hardcore fans, and not necessarily hardcore, but like fans from the manhwa, that is one of the common gripes, is that like the anime doesn't, parts of the anime, the animation and like style and everything like that, doesn't feel like it's on par with like the gravitas that this series should have.
Yeah, but again, there is positive stuff to come. That's why you, dear listener, are listening to the podcast. You're like, should we watch this? Well, you know, we're getting there, don't worry. Anyways, he kills the serpent, and then Jinwoo, he runs into the healer who survived the raid, the cute girl. And she's doing well, but she's got PTSD from that encounter. And mm-hmm. Jinwoo, he takes down the monster shield that they're fighting with a single blow. So yeah, there we go, Jinwoo. He's showing his bona fides. Episode 5, Jinwoo, he gets more and more jacked, and word of his accomplishments start to spread. And he meets up with a cheerful paladin named Jinho Yu. I dug Jinho. What can I say? He's a paladin. One of my mains in World of Warcraft has been a paladin.
Right.
Exactly. I respect the paladin lifestyle. And
did you recognize him from earlier episodes?
Oh, he's in earlier episodes?
He is. He's in, I think it's either in episode 1 or 2. It's really in the background. Him and another character, Both are going to be integral, not integral, but are going to be brought up again, side characters. They're both in the first episode, and it's not one of the S-class characters.
Interesting. That's
for
interesting.
One of the first few episodes, yeah, they're both in there, but him especially.
Did he not have his armor?
He did not.
Okay, well there you go. So yeah,
that's why you don't know him, but he's there. I like when I rewatched it, I was like, oh, there he is.
That's cool though. So yeah, Jinho Yu. I like his little backstory. He's his uncle is super rich, which is why he gets this gear.
So no, his like... it's actually his dad.
Oh, his dad's rich? I thought his uncle didn't. His uncle own a construction company or some shit. Or...
No, it's his father who owns the construction company.
Oh, okay, so yeah, his dad's super rich, and again, he's the player who's using microtransactions to get where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the party, they come across a cave of mana crystals, and Jinwoo suspects that not all is what it seems, and it turns out this party leader is more of a bandit, and he ends up betraying Jinwoo and Jinho, and they find themselves in a battle with a giant spider, and Jinwoo declares he'll fight it solo, leveling.
Let me solo her.
Let me solo her, exactly. Episode 6, despite Jinwoo's strength, the C rank fight will still be a tall order, but he's level 18 now, so he's ready for the challenge. And Jinwoo, he demonstrates his great strength, so much so that Jinho thinks he might be a lunatic false ranker. What's a false ranker, Mark?
A false ranker is someone who intentionally hides their level to basically go into other lower rank raids and to just kill people.
Yeah.
So people would think that he is a false ranker because he's strong, even though his level is technically, he's ranked as an E.
Okay, gotcha.
And eventually, further down in the manhwa, I'm not sure if they'll address this in the anime, but it is a part of a different story, a part of another storyline in the manhwa.
So we might have to deal with an actual false ranker then at some point, you're saying?
Correct.
Interesting. Correct. So anyways, Jinwoo, he gains a new dash skill and he's able to dodge the spider's attack. But the problem is it consumes a lot of stamina, but luckily he gains a full recovery. And then he starts stacking numerous debuffs on the spider and finally kills it. And he kills it by like stabbing it in the eye. That seems to be his like iconic technique, the eye stab. I noted that.
Like, as evident by fights later on.
It's, yeah, like, you know, again, goes back to Final Fantasy, like Cloud has Omni Slash and Jinwoo has Stab Eye.
Eye Stab. Eye Poke.
Eye Stab. Eye Poke. That's his thing. I'm sure he'll gain a new move eventually, but right now he's just going for those eyes.
He's just like that warrior who only knows one skill.
Exactly. But it's cool. Yeah, he's stacking debuffs. That's what I like to do in video games. You know, you got to debuff the enemy. Or mm-hmm. do something like that to make him vulnerable. Anyways, the bandit leader, he asks Jinho to kill Jinwoo, and he sees Jinho as a trust fund baby. So the bandits, they try to intimidate Jinwoo, but he cuts a cocky one down without the guy even noticing, and Jinwoo is no longer just a monster killer, but a murderer.
Just to interject, it is important to note that... Mm. He was presented by the game, quote unquote, game system with a sort of unskippable quest. It's basically the game is trying to preserve him, and they present him with a quest that he's unable to like not disregard, unable to disregard, and he's compelled to do it. So that's why he is regarded as a murderer, because the game forces him, like, you're going to die if you don't do it. So
this also surprised me too, because I wasn't, I guess it's not moral ambiguity. These guys are clearly trying to murder him, but when you're getting into like human killing, that's a different level. So it did take me by surprise in this anime once again.
And again, I wouldn't say it's as gory as the first dungeon, but there are things there that he does that I was like, oh, cool.
Oh, for sure. And the fact that it's our hero inflicting these horrific wounds, that's a different level of violence than, say, like an evil, scary monster dungeon doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the protagonist, you would not, if this was a shonen, he would never do that. He would find a way to get around it. He would find a way to tell them his life story, and then they would become his friends. But because this is not necessarily a shonen, this is just a cool story, sort of loosely based in the real world. He's tough. He's faced with a tough decision. Do I kill or do I die? So in a way, you can call it self-defense.
So anyways, the leader, of course, begs for mercy because he's a fucking coward. And Jinwoo responds, what happens in the dungeon stays in the dungeon. And he cuts off the bandit leader's head. And Jin-ho vomits in shock. Jin-ho with the reasonable reaction. Luckily for the Jinwoo and Ho gang, their alibi is believed. There's a cute little girl who just instantly is like, okay, well, y'all were in a pretty tough raid. It makes sense that they're dead. Jinwoo, he gets a skill called Murderous Intent that puts enemies into a state of panic, causing all ability damage to be reduced by 50%. So, seems like that murder was worth it, because that's a pretty dope sounding ability.
It is indeed.
And our final episode we are covering, Jinwoo wonders how his experience has changed him, and he's become a harder person. And he's drinking like Heineken or something like that, and he notices that one of his special abilities, health and longevity, is preventing him from getting drunk, as it disables all toxic and abnormal conditions. I dug this. I actually talked to my buddy. I'm like, I like how they incorporate the video game stuff into the real world. That's a really neat thing that I haven't seen other isekai-like shows do.
Yeah, I agree.
More of that, please. And I guess presumably we'll get to see how other skills impact his more regular life in the future.
To my knowledge, I don't know if it does. There probably is. It's just I'm just glossing over it.
Yeah, no worries. I was just putting you on the spot. Anyways, Jin-ho, he tries to recruit Jinwoo for a 19 raid mission, and he's trying to become a licensed guild master, and he needs 20 raids completed to do so. And Jinho's father wants an S rank hunter to run this guild, and Woo, of course, is well on his way to becoming an S rank. I think it's safe for the audience to assume, you know, no different than Naruto becoming Hokage, Jinwoo is probably going to become an S rank by the end of this series. One would assume, at least. One would assume. Jin-ho, he offers Woo like 32 billion for the 19. Is it 32 billion or just a billion?
It's like 32 billion. It's honestly, it's the currency conversion that like screws it up. But you can consider it like a billion US dollars, right?
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, he offers him a shit ton of money for the 19 raids, and Jinwoo, he gets a new key that leads him to an S-rank instant called the Demon Castle, and its reward is the Elixir of Life, and it could cure any illness, which means healing his mother, which is something I glossed over. Yeah, we didn't really talk about his mom and sister, but yeah, his mother is super sick and dying, and his sister, of course, wants what's best for him.
Oh, actually, yeah, no, that's super, I guess, yeah. We glossed over, but it is super important because that is Jinwoo's like main driving factor for doing this entire thing. Even if he is just the weakest hunter in the world, constantly putting his life at risk, he is only doing that to pay for the medical bills to help keep his mom alive. So would you, put yourself constantly in danger of like putting your life on the line for just for like shits and giggles or just for the adventures? You know, no, he's doing it because he loves his mom, right? And he very much wants her to be alive somehow. He just doesn't know how to go about doing it. And so normally I get the impression that he wouldn't have put much stock into this S dungeon just yet, if it wasn't for the fact that the Elixir of Life was mentioned in here.
Yeah, fair. What is it? So yeah, he goes into this instant, and his first fight is with a Cerberus, which takes out a third of his life almost instantly. Luckily for him, he has access to an online store that can heal his health, and Jinwoo, he of course manages to defeat the Cerberus with his now iconic technique, stabbing the fuck out of its eye.
Yeah. So this also, just as an interesting note, this was a little, there is something that they put in here that's a little bit of a side like difference from the manhwa. Yes, he does go into this instance. Yes, he does fight this Cerberus, but remember, there is a potion that he gets from defeating the first dungeon boss, the snake, because of his ability to resist poisons, basically, especially which is he attested out with the beer and everything like that. He had gained additional resistances, and so the resistance or the negative impact from that potion he got from killing the snake doesn't affect him when he uses it to fight Cerberus. So in the manhwa, he uses it in a different way. So it was nice that he found a way to use this potion earlier than he does in the manhwa.
Interesting. Either way, really good fight. And he's rewarded with the formula to craft the Elixir of Life. He doesn't have the Elixir of Life left. He doesn't have it yet, but he's got the formula. And now it's time to head into the Demon's Castle. That's how we end it. There you go. That's solo leveling for you.
I actually thought... So the reason why I had asked you to delay the recording for a few more episodes was I thought we were going to get into one more episode. Because, okay, Hunt, let me ask you this. How are you liking it so far? This, the anime?
I'm digging it. Again, like I said, it took a while to get there, but now that it's here, I'm interested. Like, I thought this was, like, a suitable cliffhanger. Obviously, you know what happens. Mm-hmm. But, like, for me, I'm like, no, this is, like, if the audience wants to check it out, then, you know, we're not going to say anything too spoilery, I suppose.
But what I would definitely recommend, or what I would say to you is, this is just the tip. There is something else coming down, and I think as soon as maybe next episode, but it's probably two or three episodes, I would really dislike it if they would wait, if what I'm waiting for, what I really wanted, if they're waiting for like episode 13. At the end of like this quote unquote first season, like if they're really going to drop it there, but I don't think they will. So,
okay. Can you give us a hint? Is it like a reveal or just a fight or something like that?
I'm going to say it is a different level or a different. When you play MMOs, you don't just go in modern MMOs anyway, you don't just go through the game as one character class. Mm-hmm. Eventually you upgrade from a knight into a paladin, right? Something like that. So what I would say is just be prepared for something to come up like that.
Interesting. You're intriguing me, like a class change. That's what I'm thinking of when you say
that. Yeah. Something. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly kind of like what I was hinting at.
That's cool. No, that's cool. I like where we end this off, though. He's about to take on the Demon's Castle. Who knows? I guess I will discuss that with you in private, what I think of it when I get back to the series. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's get into our quote-unquote favorite segment. Cue the music.
Speedwagon. Allow me to elucidate ya. The name is Robert E.O. Speedwagon.
So for those just joining in, the Speedwagon is our favorite supporting character of this batch of episodes. There weren't a ton of characters in this, so I'm just going to go with Jin-Ho. Jin-Ho's cool. He's a paladin. I like paladins. He's cheerful. He's, again, he's the kid who's using microtransactions to get where he's at, which, hey, we've all been there. Yeah. I don't have much more to say. You?
I would have gone with Jin-Ho as well. Jin-Ho's a great dude. Shoot, I'm trying to remember what his name. I'm going to go with one of the two hunters that come back to test Jin-Woo again. The main one. He is the main hunter association, like, president, his, like, right-hand man. I wish you would think if he would be my Speedwagon, I would know his name. But that character, because we don't really see a lot of him throughout this entire you know, first seven episodes, we see bits and pieces of, you see that he's a little bit of an important character from, like, he's getting reports on Song Jin-woo, and, you know, and he's like, oh, this can be interesting. He has a spar with the president of the Hunters Association and everything like that. You see him training where he's like, I can't even break a sweat doing this, when he, and he just punches the shit out of, like, a fucking giant ass, like, solid rock or whatever, and it just, like, super explodes. I think he's a cool character. It'd be interesting to see what they do with him in here. And yeah, aside from Jin-ho, he's, like, the next kind of coolest side character there is.
What was it? There was also a cute blonde girl who also seemed to be a pretty strong hunter, and I thought we would get more of her, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
So that's another cool thing here with the anime is they're introducing her way earlier than she was ever introduced in the manhwa.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's neat. I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do, because I guess what? She's also another S rank?
Yep, she is an S rank character. An S rank swordswoman? Yes.
Okay, nice. Yeah, her... I have much more.
Sorry, yeah. No, again, this is me just tapping into my manhwa knowledge.
I love it, man. I love it. Again, you get to be the expert for this round, and I'm just like, all right, I'm just here for the ride.
Yeah, man. And I think it's going to be quite the ride.
Final thoughts, I'll go. Like I say, the show does have a slow start. I'm glad Mark delayed this as long as he could, and I'm happy with where 7 is. I know, I'm sure you want to talk 8, but we'll see. You, dear listener, can watch 8 because this episode is releasing after 8's already out. So there you go. You just don't get to hear us talk about it. Either way, though, Solo Leveling, I do wish the animation was stronger. I'm hoping they're just saving it for some bigger fights, maybe. That's my hope. Because I get it. Not all series get to blow their budget out. Even Jujutsu Kaisen didn't get to be what it is until... You know, JJK season 1 is a sketch compared to JJK season 2.
Right.
Although, like, also, you have the reverse, though. No, you have the reverse with, like, One Punch Man, where season 1's fantastic and season 2 is still frames.
Yeah. And but, I think with Solo Leveling, I think they're trying to find that delicate balance where you can still have, like, beautiful animation, but do it where it counts. And I think they're doing it right. Where they're saving all the beautiful animation for, like, when you want to see beautiful animation. Like, I don't need to see, like, oh my god, top of the line animation when he's running in the streets or talking to his sister or, like, all this, like, background, you know, backstory stuff. Like, save it for, like, fights, which they have been doing in this series. And I think that's fine. And I think that's perfectly fine. You save yourself some of that budget, you know?
Absolutely. Save your money. I think that about wraps it up. Mark, thank you for coming on. Mark, where can people find you?
You can find me on all the same socials. M Blankaflor, MBLANCAFLOR. That's me on Twitter and or X, I guess, but I'm going to call it Twitter. And on the Instagram. I'm also starting a new thing based on my love for Lorcana. So be on the lookout for that. My socials on that are Lorvana, Lorvana 604. And you can find me.
Awesome. So that's not like a podcast. That's just like an Instagram handle for Lorcana stuff?
Yeah. It's just, I've been posting, like, over the holidays, I did 30 days of Lorcana, which is just opening packs. And so each day I opened a pack and I did 30 days of that. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's cool. I'm sure there's a lot of great artwork. Again,
there is. Some of them are local Vancouver artists too, so that's cool.
Oh, that's neat. Anyways, you can find the podcast at Is This Anime Pod on Instagram. You can find me at Only Real Jack M on Twitter, Jack is Jack on Instagram. Yeah. Thank you, Mark, for bringing this series to our attention. You know, obviously, I'm too busy playing my own video game right now, so I might wait a few more episodes to catch up. But yeah, I enjoyed the show.
Cool, man. I'm glad you did. Over the past year and a half, this is one of the things that I've been really looking the most forward to, especially when I first heard that they were making an anime. And I highly urge you and any of our listeners out there to If you really like this series and what you've seen, go ahead and just read the manhwa. And I think you'll enjoy it a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, thankfully, the community for Solo Leveling doesn't seem to be as bad as JJK, where JJK fans will just spoil the fuck out of everything. The second, dude, I had like, Christ, I've had a good chunk of the major JJK to have spoiled for me in advance. It's just a bummer, which is why I had to catch up with the manga, because I'm just like, this is the only way. And even then, when the hints start coming like 2 or 3 days before the manga leaks, even then, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, fuck, man. I don't know why JJK has the worst fucking fans.
Dude, that's why with any anime series that I love, so like, you know, like JJK, this, any of the other stuff, like I have to like just put the lockdown on all like internet related stuff, and like I don't want to know. And I got spoiled one time for the JJK stuff, and I was like so upset, and I don't want that. So don't spoil things, folks. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, again, you know, even me, I have to be super careful with stuff too. But this podcast is semi-spoiled. At least you, dear listener, it's written in the show notes what we're covering. So there you go. anyways, that was a fantastic pod. Once again, thank you, Mark, for coming on. And you, dear listener, remember, let someone else solo her, not me. I'm not fucking helping you out.
Bye.